you've ever wondered where to get your Blazers, Ducks, and Bees. It's right here on the airwaves of 1080. 1080 The Fan with Danny and Dusty. It's Danny and Dusty and Rust from noon till 3.
Hour number 3 here on Danny and Dusty on a Friday afternoon. Whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080andthefan, Twitch.tv/1080andthefan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out with us on this wonderful, wonderful, gloriously sunny Friday.
Very nice
weekend. Get that yard work done. Don't let it pile up.
Perfect.
Don't let it pile up.
Yeah.
If you don't do it tomorrow, it's going to get bad.
I got like all these ideas of like going to watch Hops baseball. Mm. You know, it's right near my house. Just go down. Watch some ball. Nice.
You can stagger. You don't have a backyard.
No, it's turfed. Yeah. All I got to deal is front yard, but I got a lot of bushes and
I think I'd kill for that now.
It's great. Game changer.
Look, every time I let the dogs out of the last couple nights, I look at the grass and I go, oof, that's going to suck.
Can't do it with pets, though. Can't do it with dogs.
Yeah.
You know, they'll ruin the turf. It is nice, though. You can just tell kids, like, go outside. They're like, it's raining. It's like, you're not going to get muddy. Yeah. Go. Get out of here.
We'll hose you off.
Yeah. Well, that's what the rain does. Yeah. They don't need to get hosed off. Yeah. It's turf. Yeah. They just go and kid stuff.
Do you just brush the leaves?
Yeah, you can still rake it.
Well, no, but I'm saying, is there any difference? Do you still rake it or do you like, okay.
Yeah, you rake the leaves up.
Okay.
Yeah. You just don't mow it. It's perfect. You still rake it, rake
things. If I saw somebody out there mowing their turf yard, I would have so many questions.
Yeah, my wife has actually done that before, put the blade up really high when we have like a lot of leaves come down and just goes over
just,
and
just kind of mulches it.
Basically vacuums it all up.
So say, is that before or after you go vacuum the driveway?
That's basically what we do with the, yeah. So it works.
Okay.
I don't know.
I don't think I've ever got that far. All right. College basketball, a couple awards handed out already. The one that everybody saw coming. Cooper Flagg named the National Player of the Year.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer right there. And look, he's going to be named Naismith National Player of the Year.
He's going to sweep the
awards. This was the AP National Player of the Year. And it's more than deserving. I don't think you can turn on a basketball game, watch him, and say that's not the best player in college basketball. Pretty simple.
Yeah. And we'll talk about this a little bit later, but now he has the chance to do what only one other guy has done. To be that guy and win the national title.
Yeah, Anthony Davis, the only other guy to do it. You know, pretty nuts to think about. I think if, in retrospect, if it wasn't a one-and-done culture and era, Carmelo would have been the same guy.
Yeah.
He would have done the exact same thing. But they were still giving it to four-year players and guys that had paid their dues. And Melo
was the
one
first.
And done. Yeah, KD was the first.
The first freshman to get the National Player of the Year treatment.
So we're saying that the comps will be either Kevin Durant if he doesn't win a national title or Anthony Davis if he does.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. I think that's pretty good company that he's going to be in that Cooper Flagg.
He's already starting the Hall of Fame path pretty quickly.
That's wild we're talking about. He turned 18 in December.
Kind of crazy.
I wonder if he's going to get Chosen One tattooed across his back anytime soon.
I think Coop is going to either, this is going to go one of two paths. He is either going to have like the mid-career, I'm going to do a very bad tattoo like Jason Tatum, where it was God's Swill.
Or Darren Williams. Darren Williams came into the league with the Panther.
Oh, yeah.
That was really bad.
Yeah.
Tatted up, Coop, would be something.
But I think he's looking at it from the endorsement standpoint of, if I'm the clean-cut white boy, I can make a killing.
Yeah.
He will.
So it'll be like a jersey pattern of just him being tatted on his torso.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, I'm here for
it. Go like full like Russian prison tattoos.
Yes.
I'd love that. Full John Wick.
Yeah. Yes. Cooper Flagg, do it.
Something else happened today in the awards world, and I don't like it. There was a co-coach of the year. And I don't like it. They went with Bruce Pearl and Rick Pitino.
It was a literal tie in the voting, though. Split right down the middle.
I don't like it.
They should have an odd number of voters for that reason.
Just so it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I don't think you could pick wrong with either one of those. Mm-mm. Just pick one. It's like the MVP voting in the NBA this year. Look, I'm a Jokic guy, but if you say you're an SGA guy, fine. But just pick one.
Yeah. That is deserving for both Bruce Pearl and Rick Pitino, because both of them are doing it in the current era. I know the history of St. John's basketball, but
and Rick Pitino,
they are not at traditional powers, right? And they cultivated, developed, and coached the hell out of rosters to get those two teams as two of the best teams in college basketball. For Auburn, Bruce Pearl got that school the number one overall seed in this tournament. For Rick Pitino, he got St. John's to a two seed, which if you were to rewind this a decade, you'd say that's damn near impossible for Rick Pitino or anybody else to do at St. John's. He did it, and they were humming this season. I don't like the tie either. I think if I was going to give it to anybody, though, I wonder why Todd Golden wasn't in this. I do know why Todd Golden wasn't in this, because of everything that the investigation had to be
cleared for. Shire or Sampson.
Yeah. These coaches have all done a hell of a job.
Yeah. And like you look at the Elite Eight and going into that group, I was like, any one of these coaches has a legitimate claim for Coach of the Year.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But I want to say, over the last couple of years, hasn't Kelvin Sampson won it? That doesn't mean that you don't give it to the guy again this year.
Which, but I mean, that's part of the thing that plays into awards. And I hate that. It's either you did or you didn't.
Yeah.
I don't care about.
Yeah. Kelvin Sampson last year, Coach of the Year, when they were the number one overall seed. Yeah. So.
And he came back and did it again.
And they're in the Final Four. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Yeah. I don't know. His coaching path is so weird now that I'm looking at his Michigan State GA to an assistant at Montana Tech.
Big time basketball program.
And then became the head coach at Montana Tech, an NAIA school in Butte, Montana.
Did you like Butte, Montana?
I hate Butte, Montana.
That's kind of an armpit.
And I hate Montana Tech, the ore diggers. Backwoods hillbillies.
That's what Jeff Rust is at 2:30.
And then he went to Washington State as an assistant, Washington State head coach, Oklahoma, Indiana. And then the wheels fall off and he goes and is an assistant in the NBA for the Bucks and Rockets and now University of Houston. That is a path, man.
His coaching record, 797 and 354. He has a 69% nice winning percentage.
That's pretty good.
He wins nearly 70% of his games.
That's weird.
That's crazy. Shire's numbers. Shire's numbers are bonkers, man. Again, I know the talent and all that kind of stuff, but still, look, just because you're at a blue blood or at an elite blue blood doesn't mean it's going to go that well. See,
I love Duke.
There you go. See, Davis Hubert.
Yeah.
Not
Davis Hubert.
Yeah.
That could be a name, too.
Yeah, it could be. But Hubert Davis isn't going through the winning of it all the time. It's been some up and down years in North Carolina.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's been a roller coaster, dude. Following the legend is not easy.
No.
And we've talked about this before, but like Coach K actually getting out of the way
and being not present has been a good thing.
Yeah, it is.
Like the camera pans to him in games and he's wearing his West Point jacket, not his Duke stuff. He's kind of in the shadows. It's like, good.
If Shire wins a title,
K can't.
Coach K
can't.
Is going to be stewing. He is going to be so pissed.
After his team let him down to North Carolina twice.
Yeah. You cannot convince me that Mike Krzyzewski, the competitor that he is, the person that he is going to be happy with John Shire winning that title. Mm. Like he'll say all the right things. No, I don't think he's going to be happy.
I hate John.
He's going to go. It's just like when a team beats him in the tournament and he goes in and he congratulates the other team for playing a really tough game where it's like, that was nice.
Yeah.
You know, like that was great. But, you know, he walked out of that room MFing his own guys, himself, everybody else. There's no way. No way he's going to be thrilled about that.
Not at all. Well, speaking of things people are not thrilled about or thrilled about, Portland Trailblazers won a game last night. They beat the Toronto Raptors. You weren't out taking them. Is there anything to take away from that game and going into the final last push of the season? We'll get that next year on Danny and Dusty, Tim the Fan. The Portland Trailblazers took on the Toronto Raptors north of the border last night in a game that the Raptors had no interest in winning. The Blazers, I mean, they kind of went like, oh, you want to get cheeky? We can get cheeky. Unfortunately, it was because they suffered a couple of minor injuries to both Duop Reith and Tumani Kamara. Both left the game WAP with a knee injury, two with an ankle injury. You saw it if you watched the game last night, rolled the ankle pretty
Don't
clearly.
Like it.
Two's playing, and he's not going to not play until he's forced out hard. And even then, they're going to have to pull him kicking and screaming.
And they got Chicago tonight on the second of a back-to-back where you have to get... It's not just leaving Canada. Like, this is actually
it's
a
customs.
Thing. You have to go through customs, and it's a check. And for them, on a private plane, it's not nearly as invasive. It just can be a pain in the ass to get back into the country.
And again, they're leaving late last night. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get out of that arena. By the way, quick nod. The Raptors threw their old court down with their throwback jerseys. And God, it was great. One... minor quibble.
Mm-hmm.
They put a yellow outline, like a neon yellow outline around the Raptor, and they made the basketball yellow because they made the court, the floor, like this weird, not quite basketball orange, but like this off-tinted orange.
Right.
And so they couldn't put an orange basketball in the Raptors' hands. Because there's two different ones. There's the one with the white and black basketball on the Raptors' hands, mm-hmm. and there's one where it's orange. And the one where it's orange to me is the one that really pops. But the white and black one's okay. But they did it yellow, and it just looked weird.
Hot court talk. I'm okay with it, yeah.
No, but I mean, look, that logo floor jersey combo, one of the best in the league. I think the Blazers, when they go back to the Memorial Coliseum, white paint with the red top of the key.
I love that.
And the throwback vertical lowercase text, it's one of the best, if not the best, matching court jersey combos in the NBA.
It's good look.
So good.
Good look.
Speaking of so good, look, we just talk about Denny being good, good, good. Denny had another 25, 15, and 5 last night. We finished the night 26, 15, and 6.
On 50% shooting from the field.
Yeah. Just, it's become normal.
Yeah.
A ho-hum 26, 15, and 5.
He's playing really stinking well.
Okay, dude. But Shaedon Sharpe has put together back-to-back 30-point nights, and last night you saw a Shaedon Sharpe that was confident and aggressive in almost everything he did. Finishes 4 of 10 from 3, which there was maybe one 3 on the entire night that I'll quibble with. He had a step-back 3 that he went into. Beautiful. And it wasn't a step-back because, I guess I got to go a step-back. He set him up. He drove hard right-hand drive, defender 45, to take it away. Shaedon puts his shoulder in his chest, and you can see it all develop. And he creates the separation, gets back under control in the step-back, gets his feet back underneath him, elevates cash. And I was like, that wasn't a step-back for step-back's sake. That was... I'm setting you up for the shot on the first dribble.
Well, and I think one thing that is impressive about what we're seeing from Shaedon is that he's starting to figure out tempo creates space,
mm-hmm.
right? And he's mixing that up over the course of a game. And that's where you see that kind of next step in guy ball handlers and ball dominant guards, right? Is mm-hmm. when you know when to put your foot on the gas and when to you need to create on your own using different variations yep. of speed. It's a tough thing, and it takes a really long time, especially in the NBA, when you have different defenders who are going to attack you different ways. You saw that last night with Shaedon. Now, again, Raptors, not good at basketball, trying not to win basketball
games. But you know
games.
What you do to those teams? You pummel them. And that's what Shaedon Sharpe did. So he finishes the night 4 of 10 from 3, 14 of 23 from the field. So you do the math there. That means he's 10 of 14 from 2. One of those 2s was a 3 that he missed where his toe was on the line.
Okay.
So inside the 3-point line on shots that you expect him to take, he was 10 of 13 on 2s. And like his ability to, like, unless your last name is Morant, Rose, or Westbrook, you got to have gears. Because those guys are so fast, so twitchy, so quick, it didn't matter. They could just get by you.
Well, Russell Westbrook fast enough to blow a potentially game-clinching lay-in.
Twice in a row.
Yeah.
Did you see that? He did it the other night, too.
Yeah.
After doing it against
Timberwolves.
Minnesota, he did it again the next game.
Yeah.
It was like, dude, no! What are you doing? But like those guys for 10 years, didn't matter what gears they had.
Mm-hmm.
They're just going to get by you. Shaedon is... For all of Shaedon's athleticism, his first step is not, and again, this is me saying this, like, I'm not saying, it's not elite.
Yeah.
But what he has gotten better at, beyond changing gears, it's a very subtle thing, but it's very reminiscent of when we talk about this with football, low man wins. Watch him drive. He has started getting this forward bend where he gets down low and gets his shoulders past guys. And it's almost like a running back getting through the hole of getting through the wash, getting low and keeping his balance and using that to turn the corner.
Now, this is like a little bit of pushback to what you say about minutes don't mean development. Mm-hmm. That's what we're seeing with Shaden, though. You know what, minutes are meaning development with him.
And I'll follow up on that. When Shaden Sharpe was asked, what has been the biggest difference? You know what he said last night?
Playing basketball?
Watching basketball.
Oh.
Me and my trainer, Francis, have been watching so much tape. I understand what teams are trying to do to me and what I need to do to beat them.
That's good to hear.
Like, that is, if you want Shaden Sharpe to succeed, that is the number one thing you want to hear out of his mouth.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't a tape guy. And this isn't the Shaden thing.
Why would he be a tape guy when he hasn't played since high school?
But like, most guys don't come in the league, number one, watching tape,
yeah,
knowing how to watch tape and how much and what to watch for. That's probably the biggest off-court development for young guys. When you're not talking about behavioral or maturity stuff, the biggest soft skill, the freaks that watch the most tape.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like Shaden is becoming a film dude.
Good.
And you're seeing it translate. That's why I call that step back. That wasn't him like, oh, I'm going to go to this move now. It was, I know what this guy is going to try to do to me. So you know what my counter is? I know he's going to be on his heels. I'm going to get him even more on his heels, knock him off balance, and I'm going to get to the shot. That is the mental process stuff. But to your point, the reps help.
Yep.
It reinforces what he's seeing.
Yeah. He has not played basketball.
No. No. We've documented this so many times. He lost a year at Kentucky. He lost COVID. He lost 60 games last year with the injury.
Brutal.
It's just he hasn't had the reps. But now, and this is the thing I always say, it's not time, it's good reps. He's getting good reps, and Chauncey Billups is rewarding him. Now, the injuries are putting the ball more in his hand.
Yep.
But the March-April basketball of it all, I'm always going to have a little bit of a squint towards. But if you get the opportunities and you go and deliver like this over and over and over again,
maximize them.
It's something. So,
all right,
come up next. It's 2:30-ish on a Friday afternoon, which means it's time for Jeff Frost.
Oh,
we'll get to that next. But first, here's the Big Canoe himself with the Sports Center update.
I hear they got some tasty burgers.
It's Friday afternoon. It's 2:30-ish, which means it's time for Jeff Frost.
Oh,
America's favorite top flight game show. Jeff Frost, what do you got for us today?
I'm not sure if you guys are aware, there's some basketball coming up this weekend at the collegiate level.
Oh, go on.
Yeah, we're down
to the crown.
Yes, we are down to our last. Yes, the crown.
Oh.
Down to our last Fantastic Four starting tomorrow afternoon, tipping at 3:09 on CBS Florida. 2.5-point favorite over Auburn and Bruce Pearl. Janai Broome says he's good to go, but we'll see how healthy he actually is. So, against the spread, remember that is 2.5. Who you got, Florida
or
Auburn?
I'm going to take Florida. Florida was my national title pick, not knowing if Cooper Flagg was going to be healthy going into the tournament. I think Florida and Duke are the two best teams in the country. Even if Broome's 100%, I still think Florida has just enough more to outlast them.
I'm going with Florida just because Janai Broome. Janai Broome and his injury questions, they loom large. And if Florida can just get physical with him and neutralize a guy who has a shoulder,
a knee, elbow.
Like, that's tough to recover from in 1 week.
My man's going to look like Kurt Rambis on that court.
Yeah, he is.
All taped up.
Then at 5:49 tomorrow evening, also on CBS, Duke, 5.5-point favorites against Kelvin Sampson and Houston. Cooper Flagg looking pretty good after turning an ankle in the ACC quarterfinals. He's averaging 19.5 points on 43% from three, along with 7.8 boards, 5.3 assists, and just under 2 blocks in this NCAA tournament. So against the spread, again, 5.5. Who you got, Duke
or
Houston?
I'm going with the diaper dandy. Ugh. I'm going with Duke. He's a PTP, a primetime player.
19-8-5-2.
I love Dickie V. Glad to hear he's healthy.
Yeah, absolutely, man. The thing about this that's surprising to me is 5.5. That may not sound like that much. You're talking about a game whose over-under line is 136.5. It is a 23-point difference between their game and the other game. 5.5 in this game is 10.5 in the other game.
Yeah, that is a... Like, a 5-point lead is insurmountable in a game that has an over-under of 136.5. Like, if you're like, Duke's up by 5 with 2 minutes to play, you're like,
well, oh, pack it up.
Man, poor Houston. It was a great season, guys.
All right. So, Duke currently the favorite in Vegas to win the title at minus 110. Florida plus 300, Houston plus 425, and Auburn at plus 550. So, who are you taking to win, Duke
or
the field?
I mean, it's Duke. It just is. They seem destined for it with the way they're beating teams.
Yeah.
Like we talked about, like the where these teams have ranked historically. All four of them are historically great teams. Duke being the best among them.
Coach K is gone. I know this, but I also know Duke not coming through.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go the field on this.
Okay.
I'm going to go the field. Kelvin Sampson, great coach. If the referees allow them to play physically, they got a chance. They got a chance. And then you got two SEC teams, which has been the Goliath Conference of college basketball. And the SEC got Duke's number earlier in the season as well.
Still sounds weird to say that SEC is like a basketball conference. But
the basketball conference.
Money talks.
Yeah. Moving over to the association, the Trailblazers in Chicago tonight, second night of a back-to-back. After last night's win in Toronto, with 5 games remaining, Portland 2.5 games back of the play-in and 1.5 games ahead of the Spurs for the 8th worst record. Which is more likely, the play-in
or
the 8th worst record?
8th worst record. The math is substantially more in favor of that. Going into tonight, let me update my little... calculator here. I believe they were 1.6% chance. Oh no! Because of a loss, they're at 2.2. They have a 2.2% chance. Skyrocketing their potential outcome. 2.2% chance of making the play-in.
What's their chance of landing Cooper Flagg right now with their current position of 9th in the draft or in the lottery odds or 10th?
They're currently 9th. Their most likely outcome is 9th in the draft lottery, 43.7%. They have a 9.3% chance as of right now at the 8th best lottery odds going into the lottery with the 8th best odds. So they have basically a 10% chance.
Okay.
If they lose tonight, and I do believe the Blazers are going to lose tonight. I believe the Bulls are trying to win this game, and I believe the Blazers are like kind of trying to win this game.
Right now, for Blazer fans out there, just think of this. You said 2.2% chance of making the lottery?
No, 2.2%. I mean
the play-in?
Yeah.
The chances of the Blazers landing Cooper Flagg is 4.5%. So they've doubled the odds to get Cooper Flagg as they do the play-in.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go with the 8th.
I will say, last 4 shows on Rip City Wrap-Up, we've done Tankathon to close out the show. They have finished 4th, 2nd, 3rd, and 1st.
All right.
So basically, we've used up all their luck.
Okay. Awesome. Thank
you. Good job. Thanks, man.
Jerk.
All right, we'll keep it in the NBA. The league is fined Ja Morant $75,000 after his second finger gun incident in a game this week.
This is the dumbest sentence I've ever heard, but very true.
Yeah, it's not inaccurate, unfortunately. He'd already been warned after Tuesday's game against the Warriors, then did it again last night against the Heat. So, just for S's and giggles, let's put the over-under at 1.5 for future gun-related fines and or suspensions for the remainder of Jaw's career.
Over.
You got the over?
Over.
Under.
Over. Over.
He blatantly flaunted it.
He talked to the commissioner of the league and then was like,
before the game.
You know what?
See, here and I thought that setting it at 0.5 was going to be too little because I was like, I don't know, he's going to have at least.
You
one
probably
more.
Could have put it at 2.5 and before I even thought about it.
Yeah. Yeah. You would have made me pause at 2.5.
Yeah.
1.5?
No. Smash. Smash.
And you put real and fake guns in there?
Yeah.
Come on.
That's
the easiest money.
Yeah.
Give me a book I can find that at.
Right. Just. I'm trying to think
Golly.
It's like Draymond Green getting another or Dylan Brooks getting suspended for getting over the technical limit again.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, smash. For those that are wondering, Dylan Brooks had a 16th technical foul and will be suspended for his next game.
Good for him.
Dummy.
The Rashid rule.
Yep. It is. It is. Got anything else?
That be it.
All right. The wonderful.
Dynamite.
Amazing edition of Jeff Ross. Every Friday around 2:30-ish. All right, come up next as we wrap up today's show. We will dive into that NCAA tournament we referenced so much. The Final Four is underway in a little bit more than 24 hours. We'll dive into those games next here on Danny Dusty, 1080 Fan.
It's time for Legends of Hoop, an inside look at the college basketball championships. Brought to you by Legends Casino Hotel, within winning distance.
Well, as we talked about earlier, Cooper Flagg has indeed won National Player of the Year. He will also very, very, very likely win the Naismith National Player of the Year, collect all the awards, and if he wins against Houston, will set up the opportunity to do what only one other player in college basketball history has done, and that is Anthony Davis.
He is living up to all of the hype, and that is a really difficult thing to do. It's been beat to death, the fact that he should still be in high school, but I think it makes it that much more impressive. When you have the hype, when you have the billing, and you live up to all of it, and you're doing it a year ahead of schedule, dude, this whatever it is that people look for, he has it.
Legends of Hoop is brought to you by Legends Casino Hotel. Escape to Legends Casino Hotel within winning distance. Just a short drive to Top Edition, Washington. The ultimate destination for fun and relaxation, LegendsCasino.com. This feels like a bit of a sucker question, but which game are you more interested in? Florida Auburn or Duke Houston?
Duke Houston.
Right.
Duke Houston. We've seen Florida Auburn before this year, obviously, in the SEC. But Duke Houston, just because of can they continue that quest? I mean, Duke has the best record of any of these teams. They've only lost three times this season. They have been playing out of this world, absolutely destroying the competition throughout the NCAA tournament. And, you know, you say, oh, wow, whoopsie doozies. They do it against their one seed. That's what they're supposed to do. All these other teams are, and they've all been in tight battles. Duke has just mopped the floor with every single team that they've played. They're dropping over 90 points on average in this tournament. It's crazy to see what they are doing in every single round. And what they did to Alabama was bananas. And so, yeah, Duke and Houston is of the most intrigue to me, because also stylistically, the way that Houston plays, it could give Duke some fits. Duke is the number one defensive rebounding team, or well, obviously left of these teams. They're the third best defensive rebounding team of any of the Power Five conferences, right? Because you had the Big East when we're talking about college hoops too. Houston is an offensive rebounding machine.
Yes.
And the size of Duke is going to give Houston problems with that. But even more, because of Kelvin Sampson's identity that he has ingrained in that Houston team, they create more possessions, not just with offensive rebounds, but turnovers as well. Do you know how many more shots Houston has taken than their opponents this year? This number was jaw-dropping, and I'll give you how many more Duke has than their opponents. Duke on this season has 10 more shot attempts than their opponents this year. And in basketball, right, ball goes back and forth, right? You score, other team gets ball.
I'll say 90.
306.
Holy crap.
Houston has attempted 306 more shots than their opponents on the year. It's not just an offensive rebounding margin advantage that they have. They create turnovers as well. And that number is crazy when you think that they've played 38 games this year. That's almost 10 more attempts per game than their opponents do. And that is going to be the fascinating part for me, is can they create the turnovers against a team that has, albeit three freshmen, but poised and complete freshmen that have been playing? Can they continue to create those turnovers and then get those offensive rebounds against the size of Duke?
That's going to be an interesting thing, because beyond those offensive rebounds, Houston's also the number one defense in college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not playing defense as much and you're making the other team play defense, and the ability to hit the offensive glass while also limiting points in transition, because this Duke team is not the fastest team in college basketball, but they are devastating.
Yeah,
devastating in the open floor. Think about their lineup. We talked about the other day. Tyrese Proctor, Sion James, Cooper Flagg, Konka Nipple, Colin Moloch.
Yep.
You have four guys that run the floor with plus size. If you get stuck in secondary transition and a small is somehow on Malawach, guess what that turns into? It's a lob at the rim.
Yeah.
And it's,
we've seen that.
Literally last game, I believe he finished 6 of 7, and they, if I'm not mistaken, they were all lobs. It's, Houston has got toughness, grittiness. They've got decent size. They are not as small as Alabama.
Yeah.
They are not as big as Duke.
No. And turnover margin per game, Houston is plus 176 in turnover margin on the season. That's four more turnovers they create than they give up every single game this year.
The other interesting thing is, and you always, you have an eye towards the Dukes of the world here, Houston is one of the worst teams in the country at generating free throws.
Yep.
Duke is not one of the best, but they're in the top quarter.
I'm interested in this game. Stars abound across the board, and that game is really fun for me. Auburn, Florida, I'm excited for that game too, mm-hmm. because of the fact that you have Bruce Pearl. I want him to get over the hump. Mm-hmm. I love his teams and the style that they play. Jani Broome and his health is going to be interesting. But also, it's like their second leading scorer, was it Mazara, Baker mm-hmm. Mazara, Chad Baker Mazara? He's been largely absent.
Oh, he's there. There's two settings to him. Bat as crazy and completely unproductive and really good. There is no in between with him.
And he has not been great in the tournament. They need, if he figures it out and he turns it on,
he can do stuff, man. He's, you know, when J.R. Smith has those games where you go, holy crap.
Yep.
He's kind of like that.
Because Pettiford has been playing above what he has all season long. And that has gotten Auburn over the hump. Mm-hmm. If Jani Broome is healthy, which is, I don't think he is. If he is healthy, you get Mazara to snap out of whatever funk he's in. And then you get that elevated Pettiford. Watch out, dude, because that Auburn team is really damn good. And Walter Clayton Jr. is just so damn fun to watch. Mm-hmm. I love watching him. He's played above his season averages across the board.
Yep.
And Todd Golden, Bruce Pearl, two phenomenal coaches.
Yeah, on the Florida side of things, it turns out it's very helpful to have a very experienced play. Duke is so far out of the realm of normalcy in the Final Four with how young they are. If you look at the other three teams, they're all old. They're old, they're grown, they're experienced. And that's
they're
the
all older than the Blazers.
I mean, we talked about this the other day. Auburn's starting lineup is almost the same age as the Oklahoma City Thunder in average age.
Sheesh.
That's nuts.
Sheesh.
But yeah, look, I'm going to watch both games, but I'm going to be locked into Duke Houston.
Hold on. Let's go down that Blazers lineup that they rolled out last night. Of, if you were to go down that Banton, starting Sharp lineup of two, Denny, Klingon, Sharp, Banton.
So 21, 21, 24, 25, 25. So what? About the same.
Yeah.
Like 23 and a half.
And I think Auburn's, 23.2?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. Pretty close.
Yikes, dog. And that's fun to see back in college basketball,
is
guys that are the old heads, you know? All right, that does it for us. We'll be back Monday when I think all hell's going to break loose in college sports.
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, that's when the judge is going to make the ruling on the house case, and then we'll have national title that we'll be able to talk about.
Indeed.
The Blazers play tonight against the Chicago Bulls, 5 o'clock.
And then I'll be out most of the week next week.
Yeah, for Nike Hoops Summit.
We're going to see Rop's new Kansas Jayhawk, Darren Pearson.
Oh, all right. Well, coming up next, Isaac Rop will be on the show.
Mm.
He's primetime with Isaac and Suk. And I hope you heard that. Mm. Rock chalk, bitch. Let's go. It's 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. Primetime with Isaac and Suk on The Fan.
Bye.
A 6'6".
Right in the butt.
Concrete jungle, wet dream tomato.